This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Well, if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to invite you to open them with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're continuing on in our study for our midweek services on what faith is. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I've really enjoyed this. I've gotten blessed, praise God, because I got a study to be able to tell you something. Hallelujah. And hopefully what I'm telling you, praise God, has value. So anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, let's pray together. We'll get into the Word. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. And again, we approach the Word of God with humility and reverence. We thank you, Father, because your Word is life, and it is true. And Father God, it is the truth that sets people free. So we thank you, Father, for the enlightening ministry of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us to take your word, Father, and bring it to life in each and every one of our hearts. We thank you for the blessing, the comfort, the peace, the joy. Hallelujah. All that comes as a result of your children believing what it is that you've said. So we just thank you tonight, Father, for your goodness, mercy, and blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Notice with me again, if you would, in the first verse of the 11th chapter, the writer of the book of Hebrews says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. One translation says that faith is the giving substance of that which we hope for. We've mentioned it before, I'll say it again, but you know, hope in and of itself, it has no substance. It's kind of like a dream. You know, at night, you know, when you're dreaming, you know, you just think everything's so absolutely real, and then you wake up and poof, it's gone. Well, that's kind of the way hope is. You know, unless there's something to give legs to your hope, then you're never able to realize the thing that you desire. Hallelujah. But faith will make that happen. So that's why, again, the writer said that faith is the substance of that which we hope for. It gives substance to what we hope for. It serves as the evidence of what we do not see. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? And then in verse 6, he goes on then to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'm here to tell you tonight, praise God, that he in fact does reward those who diligently seek him. Amen. And that's why you're here this evening, because we're wanting more of God. We're wanting more of his purpose and plan and will for our lives. And so we get in the book and let the book get in us. Hallelujah. You know, if we just do that alone, it'll change everything. Because the word of God is a living thing. The Bible says the word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces and divides asunder the soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it's a living thing because it is God breathed. It is God himself that gave voice to the word of God, and it is a living thing. So if we can get the word of God on the inside of people, it'll change them. Hallelujah. Amen. And again, that's why we're here tonight. So thank you for that. Amen. I'm glad you're here. But I tell you what, our faith is beautiful. It's just beautiful to see people that are people of faith. And the reality is not everyone has faith. Remember when Paul was writing there to the saints there in Thessalonica, he said, not everyone has faith. And that's certainly true. You know, there's a whole lot of folk in the world in which we live today, they have no basis of faith in God whatsoever. Even though Jesus admonished us in Mark chapter 11, 22, he said, have faith in God. Hallelujah. How many of you know tonight you can believe him? That you can trust him? Absolutely trust him. You say, well, you know, a lot of times when I'm attempting to trust him, the things that I'm looking at don't necessarily line up with what I'm doing. Well, you know, welcome to the party. Hallelujah. Because the things you see in this temporal life are just that. They're temporary. They're subject to change. And so if we can get our eyes on the right thing, I tell you what, a whole lot of life can be different. So thank God for this thing called faith. And, you know, as a matter of fact, Peter, he referred to faith as precious. He talked about like precious faith. Glory to God. So if you've got faith, which you do, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, the Bible says that God has dealt to you the measure of faith. You got faith. Hallelujah. It may not be very big, but praise God, it can grow and it can get bigger and it can become an incredible blessing in your life. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Amen. You know, if you were with us in these past weeks, we've been talking about this subject and we mentioned the fact that our faith has to be tied to some fact or some promise that God has made. So in other words, if we don't have something that God has said or promised or a fact that we have revealed in the Word of God, you can't have faith. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You know, so naturally, the place that faith comes from is His Word, and from His Word is where His will is revealed. You know, many times, you know, we've heard it in religious circles at least, you know, they say, well, you know, you never can know the will of God. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, it's a lie. Because, you know, the Bible says that He wants us to know His will. And when Paul was praying, he said that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God's not hiding anything from anybody. But now, on the other hand, you do have to believe what it is that He said in order for it to really be of any benefit to you. Can you say amen? So we understand, of course, that it's the Word of God that reveals the will of God. For example, you know, the Bible tells us that God, He doesn't want anyone to perish. And what I mean by perish is to be lost and end up in eternal damnation or end up in hell. Because the Bible says, you know, don't take it, you know, as a matter of my word, just take it from what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what the Bible says? How many of you are familiar with that verse of Scripture? You know, because there's another Scripture. Well, that's 1 Peter 3 and 9. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, the Bible says, who desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant is not bliss. It is a bummer. Because what you don't know can really hinder you. But thank God for what we do know. Amen? That's why Jesus came. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to reveal the heart, the nature, and the character of God so that you and I would know who God is. Amen. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we watch Jesus walking through the Gospels doing what He does, and He is the will of God in action. Hallelujah. And He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. Amen. So thank God we're not on the same side as hell. We're not on the same side as Satan. We're not on the same side as the world. We're citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So we live our lives according to that citizenship. Amen. And so the world around us, they may try to impose its will on us, but thank God we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. So we resist. Everybody say resist. That's one thing Christians aren't real good about. I got to do what? Yeah, you got to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we read in the Scriptures, God doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, and you'll hear people all the time, you know, they explain the gospel away in all kinds of different ways. Well, you know, it must not just been the will of God, you know, it must not been, you know, God's plan for him or whatever the case might be. Well, yes, in fact, it was God's plan for all to be saved. Now, obviously, not everyone will, but you'll notice in the Scriptures that I made reference to you here is that He's not slack concerning His promises, as some men would consider slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us, not willing. You know, the only reason Jesus hasn't come is He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Huh? You know, He's judging sin. He'll be judging sin and is judging sin, but He's waiting for people to come into the kingdom of heaven. He's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish. The Bible talks about this, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants everyone to get saved. Now, the fact of the matter is not everyone is going to, but here's the point here is that, you know, people, you know, they think that God decides who gets in and who doesn't. And that's not the way it is at all. God doesn't decide, you decide. But we want to abdicate responsibility. We'll say, you know, we'll throw it off on God. Well, you know, he's the judge, he's sovereign, he gets to decide. No, you decide. And the reality is that God has outlined the conditions. He said, I sent my son Jesus as a sacrifice for all of mankind, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if a man, a woman, a child, a person, you know, they make the decision to surrender their life to Christ and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, they can be saved. Amen. Praise God. But that's a decision of the heart that each and every individual has to make. Hallelujah. I can't get my wife saved. I've been trying for 40 years. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? So the fact of the matter is each of us as individuals have to make those kinds of decisions. You know, like Joshua, you know, at the end and close of his tenure, you know, as the leader over Israel, he said, listen, I have set before you. This is actually what God said. He said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life. Who does the choosing? We do. Choose life so that you and your seed, your kids, hallelujah, will be blessed. Amen. And now I was making reference to Joshua, you know, and he made this statement. He said, you know, God's fulfilled everything that he said and promised that he was going to do. Not one word has failed of all of the good things that God has promised regarding us as a people. And he said, so you get to choose now who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So it was a choice. You have a choice. You can compromise with the ways of the world. You can try to, you know, buddy up to them. My son, Brian, on Monday night, we had a men's event here, and he made a statement about, I don't know, it was a particular scripture. I wish I knew what it was. I'd share it with you, because then you're going to go away and say, well, what's up with this? You know, you tell us all this good stuff, and then you don't tell us what it is. But he basically, the scripture from a particular translation, it just said, man, you if you want to, you can live in the world and live like the world, and they'll receive you. Yeah, you know, they'll put their arm around you and think you're the greatest thing since sliced cheese. But, you know, he said, you aren't of this world. You and I have been purchased and bought with a price, so thank God. I mean, I don't know anybody with any sense, praise God, who wants to be a part of that mess anyway? What a bunch of mess. But anyway, God doesn't want anybody to perish. So that's a fact. You know, and we've proven that by the two scriptures. You know, people say, well, you know, do you think, well, God will save them or wants to save them? He wants to save them all. Hallelujah. If you got some funky relation or relative, you know, and they're just ornery and all get out, does God want to save them? Absolutely, he does. Yeah, but there ain't anybody as ornery as this person. Well, that might be, but I'm just telling you that God loves them. And if they got a sense or a brain in their head, they'll receive him as Lord. Now, here's another fact. God wants you well. He wants you whole. He wants you sound. He wants you healthy, spirit, soul, and body throughout. Why do we know that? Because the scriptures tell us exactly that. We're talking about having faith in God. How many of you know God wants you to have faith in him? In his word, what it is he said, promises he's made. Here's a scripture, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2. It says, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Everybody say, I will. He said, I will. Be thou clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We're talking about God's will for your life, that he wants you well. Another scripture, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, saying to him, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll think about it, but I don't know whether I'm going to go down there or not. No, he said, I will come and heal him. healing is in the atonement. God wants you well. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, I mean, Matthew does a marvelous job in about three chapters making that point extremely clear. Going on in that same chapter, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother or his mother-in-law laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all. Everybody say all. All of them. All of them. Well, sometimes, you know, God heals, sometimes he doesn't. That's not true. That's a lie. God is in the healing business. Amen. You say, yeah, but then how come this or that? I don't know. But I can tell you this much about it. God's will's right here. You know, so whatever happens, you know, outside of that, you know, well, you just have to take it up with Jesus. So it says right here in this scripture that he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Then dropping down in the ninth chapter in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then finally in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave to them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Well, you know, God, sometimes he can heal some of these things, but not all of them. That's a lie too. Amen. None of these things are outside the boundaries of God's healing power. So I just say this scriptures, share these scriptures with you to say that the fact is that God wants you well. So that ought to be our ambition. That ought to be the pursuit. That ought to be the thing that we're searching for when it comes to the needs that we have in our lives. And the question always becomes, you know, well, how am I supposed to appropriate this? How do I get this to become a reality, you know, within my life? And the answer is through faith. Now that sounds, you know, I don't know how that sounds to you, far off or some kind of a pipe dream or whatever, but I'm telling you, it's not that at all. Because when you got faith in God, I'm telling you what, mountains move. And so does sickness, disease, infirmities, and everything else. Hallelujah. And so it's important for us to believe, praise God, just as he said, that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So by believing what God has said, not by believing your current circumstances. Now, it could be healing, it could be finances, it could be, you know, whatever. You may be anxiety, worry, you know, all kinds of doubt and all kinds of things that are going on in your mind. You're just going 100 miles an hour and you can't seem to get it shut off. The fact of the matter is, believing what he said, not what your circumstances say, is what brings about the change in our lives. Now, it may be true that you're struggling. It may be true that you're having hardship. It may be true that you're having difficulty. But listen, God stands ready, hallelujah, to move into the situation that you're, you know, wrestling with and help you, praise God, get delivered from it. Can you say amen? So it's important for us to understand this. You know, and the thing is that we're not attempting in any way to deny circumstances. You know, we have things that we're dealing with within our life. I mean, we can't deny, you know, the hardship or the difficulty or whatever it is that we're dealing with. We just don't have to believe that it can control and dictate our lives. Did you hear me? You know, and that's where, you know, the impasse, I think, a lot of times in Christians' lives are concerned is they kind of lay down, roll over because they just say, well, you know what? Every morning when I get up, Joan's already gone. She goes swimming. And every morning when I get up, our dog is at the foot of our bed. And as soon as I walk by, I mean, this is like clockwork. This dog will roll over on its back and throw all four legs up in the air and just go, okay, I'm ready. Rub my belly, you know. I mean, just total submission, baby, because that's what she wants. Every morning. And I mean, if I were to just keep walking and pass by, she'd roll back over and go, you know, what's up with that? What am I trying to say and why did I bring that up? Because a lot of times Christians do that when it comes to their lives. Now, thank God for a belly rub, but I'm telling you, we're talking about having to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Hallelujah. So it becomes important, you know, and again, we're not denying circumstance. We just don't believe it can control and dictate our life and keep you where you are. Hallelujah. You know, over and over and over in the scriptures, principally, God kept telling the nation of Israel, man, get up and move forward. Get to going. Do something. Act on. Hallelujah. You know, why are you standing here complaining to me? Move forward. Hallelujah, because God wants his blessing in your life. So the thing is that we have to act accordingly. You know, you might believe something, but you still have to act. So in other words, my faith is released by what I do and what I say. All right? Sometimes some of our circumstances, you know, they don't necessarily, because of their nature, allow us to do something. But we can say something. Yes. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we're the police, baby, on one another. And we don't let stuff come out of our mouth that don't belong being said. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. That's good. Everybody say that's good. It is good. Amen. Sometimes we need to be corrected. And so it's important, you know. So we have to act accordingly. How many of you have ever heard the statement in your mind, well, I can't afford to give anything. Well, I'd like to suggest to you, you can't afford not to give anything. Okay? Everybody could give something. I mean, if it's pocket change, baby, I mean, when the offering's going by, sow some seed. But see, the thing of it is if you continue to tell yourself you can't afford to do anything, you never will. But yet, right on the other hand, in relative terms, there's always something we can do if we're willing and obedient. And I'll tell you what, I mean, you can say what you want about it, but I'm telling you, if you want to come out of poverty, the best thing you can do is start sowing and giving. Because the Bible says, if you give, you shall what?
Receive.
So you put seed in the ground and you get a harvest. But if you never put any seed in the ground, you're not going to get a harvest. So thank God we can do what the word says that we can do. Hallelujah. And think about this in this context, you know. let's say, how many of you have ever went through customs before? You were either, well, going into a country or you're coming back into this country. How many of you have done that? Okay. Good portion of you. Well, anyway, when you do this, you know, they got your lines and, you know, everybody got a line up. You're going to go through and there's a guy in a little booth, you know, and he's sitting there and he's got his computer and whatever, you know, other things technology requires. And you know, then you have a passport. And the passport is what's going to allow you to get back into the country or get into another country that you may be going to. And so he looks at it, and he looks at you, and he looks at it, he looks at you, he looks at it, he looks at you, then he looks at his screen, he makes sure you know all this, that, and the other, you know, that you really are who you say you are, and then all of a sudden he gets this little thing out, and he goes, whoomp, whoomp, and he stamps the passport. So you put the passport in, he says you can go your way, and you walk through there, but what if in that process, you went through all of that, you know, and you're walking past his cubicle and this and that and the other, and you get out there and somebody meets you, anybody, you know, they come up to you, they meet you and they say, well, you can't come in this country. You don't belong in this country. You can't be a part of or be in this country. Well, your first thought would be, well, number one, I'm already in the country. Because when I walk past that booth, I'm in. So the immediate question is that, you know, say, who are you to tell me what I can and cannot do? Because right here, I got a passport. And the guy stamped it, and he said, it's okay. And if you want to take it up with him, then go back there and talk to him. And if not that, then all these other officials and different people, you can talk to them. But I'm in. Well, see, the thing is, the same thing's true when it comes to your life. The devil tells you, you can't go into this. You can't have something different. You can't have better life. You can't have this. You can't have that. You can't have peace. You can't have joy. You're just, you know, this, that, or the other. People have ruined everything. They've taken everything from you, and you're never, ever going to have anything. It's like the guy that you don't even know that's standing there telling you, you can't come into country. Well, you're already in the country. Hallelujah. But, you know, you got to sometimes tell them or put them in their place. Amen. Am I in the right house? Hallelujah. Especially if you're coming back home. You know, if you had some foreigner, you can't come in. You say, dude, I live here. This is my citizenship. This is my home. Amen. The same thing's true when it comes to the things of God and the promises of God. Does that make sense to you? Amen. So it's important, you know, that we understand that. Because circumstances will always try to say, you can't change the situation that you're in. You can't change the circumstances of your life. It's always been this way. And that's really a big problem because we've been conditioned. And so you got to fight all the harder to get past that. You know, because, you know, that's why the Bible says that we need to renew our minds to the Word of God. We got to change the way that we think. We got to think the same way that God does. Hallelujah. He says you're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Hallelujah. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. So we're victors, not victims. But you got to know that, you have to believe that, and you also have to act and say or talk like it. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, it brings about great blessing in your life. Look with me, Mark chapter 11. Let's go back there and see something that Jesus said, and we'll go rush off into this for a little bit. Hallelujah. How many of you glad you came tonight? Good. I am too. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, notice with me if you would, Jesus made this statement. Mark 11 and 22, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Trust him. Trust what he said. And then he went on to say, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, everybody say say. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Now listen to this. Here's the hinge. And shall not doubt in his, where? Heart. But shall believe, for with the heart man believes. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he's going to have whatever he says. Well, Jesus spoke to an inanimate object, a fig tree, and said, no man eat fruit of the year after forever. And he cursed that fig tree and it died. So I'm just thinking, you know, that Jesus made it a teachable moment. I think he did it on purpose to tell or teach these disciples about the power of your words. When it comes from your heart, out of your innermost being, those words carry with them great power. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, and so I say this, that so many are often defeated in life because they believe the wrong things. They don't believe that God, you know, wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't believe that God wants everybody to be well. They don't believe a lot of different things, that God wants you to, you know, have your needs met, praise God, be able to have an abundance and no lack. They don't believe these kinds of things, and so they go through life without what it is, and peace. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He said, cast all your care onto me. I care about you. Isn't that what he said? Huh? He said, let the peace of God pass all that passes all understanding keep or serve as an umpire over your heart and mind. You know, when you get anxious, when you get full of worry or fear or care or whatever, man, you need to speak to it and say, shut up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You say, can I do that? Why not? It's invading your life. Invade it. Hallelujah. And don't allow it to be a part of your life. Hallelujah. So again, many are defeated in life because they believe the wrong things, and it is reflected in what they say and do, but mainly what they say. Doesn't take very long to figure out where somebody is. All you got to do is just kind of talk to them for a while. You say, what do I do about that? Get your heart and your mind renewed to the Word of God. And it'll cause you to stop saying the things that you shouldn't be talking about. And I'm not trying to, again, let me, this is important because a lot of people, they have the idea that what we say is some kind of a mechanical or magic kind of wand, you know, when it comes to these things. All what you say is an indicator of what's in your heart. And so what we're trying to address, remember what Jesus said, whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his, where? Heart. But shall believe where? In his heart that the things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. So it again, you know, when it comes to these things about what we believe, it's reflected in the things that we say. Jesus said it this way. He said, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay? So your tongue, listen to this, this is good. I hadn't even thought about this before, but you'll like it. Your tongue will tell you everything you need to know about what you believe. It will. All you gotta do is listen to it. And we're not really good at that. You know, that's why we police one another. You know, oh, gonna have to improve here. We're gonna have to change that. We're gonna have to think differently. We're gonna have to, you know, understand the truth. Praise God. So your tongue will tell you everything that you need to know. But again, the question is always, how do we get that changed in our life? And it's very simple. You have to change what's being deposited in you. If all you ever do is meditate on the negative and the wrong, and you've been listening to the devil forever, you got to change that. It's about the deposit. It really, all of it is about the deposit. If we can get the Word of God on the inside of you, it'll change you. All right? You know, and it doesn't make any difference where the problem is, but you have to change the deposit. Jesus said it this way. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For again, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. So let's use this example. You're studying the Word, baby. I mean, you are a Word person. Hallelujah. And I mean, you're digging deep and you're going to bring it. And you're studying the subject of love. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, said, love one another as I've loved you. You got all these scriptures, you know, and you're reading them and you're finding out what it means to walk in love and what it means not to walk in love. And then you discover, praise God, you know, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So thank God his love's in me. You know, and you're learning all these things. And I mean, you're excited about it. How many of you have ever been excited about it? The Word? Amen. You're really getting after it. And then all of a sudden, your friend, your relative, your spouse, or somebody, whoever it might be, says something you don't like. Ever had that happen before? Oh, man, I mean, you know, you're just full of the Word, man. You've been studying. You got it. I mean, come on. And then all of a sudden, somebody, essentially what happens is you get put to the test. Okay? That's about what it amounts to. And all of a sudden, you're not thinking about love, huh? And all of the eternal realities of the Bible. You're thinking about what they said. Come on now, am I in the right house? So we start saying or responding or reacting maybe to some of the things that person has said, and guess what? They're not very good. And while you're saying them, come on, am I in the right house? While you're saying them, you're convicted in your own heart. I should not be saying this. But at that moment, you don't care, right? Come on, can we be honest? Yeah. And so there, you're going someplace that you don't, I'll tell you exactly what's happened in this matter. The devil has done nothing more than teed you up. You know what I mean by that? When you go golf and you tee the ball up and that's all he's done. He's just teed you up and dude, he is about to ready to launch you into the next county. Huh? And watch you self-destruct as you're out there, you know, on your way. Now it's funny, but it's not funny. And this is exactly what happens because again, you know, our heart convicts us, but we don't want to listen. because we've allowed our flesh, you know, to take over, and we're all of a sudden, we're not thinking, you know, really as we ought to, and the result is trouble. So then we finally have to get to the place to say, you know what, I was wrong, I'm sorry. We have to repent before God and the person and everybody else so we can get ourselves straightened back out again. Am I in the right house? And so I'm just saying to you that, you know, these are the kinds of challenges that we have to deal with. And the reality is that, you know, once you concede to the error of your way, you know, you say, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. I know I was wrong, you know. And then, of course, again comes repentance and asking for forgiveness and whatever else, you know, that needs. Why? So you can get back where you belong. Hallelujah. And start fighting the good fight. That's the way it works. So faith, again, it's revealed by our words and by what we do. Now, we're not going to take time to go there tonight, but you know the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, it's a beautiful story in the fifth chapter of Mark. And this gal, you know, she had suffered many, many things for 12 years. She had a physical condition in her body, but she said within herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She said. And the end result was Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So what she said was her faith. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she had faith to be healed. And thank God she got healed. Amen. But it was what she said and, again, what she believed. When she heard of Jesus, there's no record as to what it is that she heard, but she had to hear that virtue was flowing from him and that people were touching him and getting healed. And she said, man, if I can touch him, I'll get healed. And she did. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? So she had a word. She had a, I don't know if you'd call it a promise or not, but she had a word that she had heard and she chose to believe it. She acted on that word. She touched the hem of his garment. She was made whole. Hallelujah. Well, so when it comes to our lives, you know, the devil says you're never ever going to amount to anything. The devil says you'll never ever have anything. You're never going to be able to have peace. You'll never be able to have joy. You know, things will never plane out for you. It's never going to be, you know, all, whatever. You know, you just got to stand in the face of those things and you have to say, you're a liar. And I believe the word of God, and God is on my side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I mean, I don't know what it looks like, but you understand the concept of what it is that has to be has to take place. Let's turn over to Numbers chapter 13. And again, this is a familiar story, I know, with many of you. We got about 10 minutes here. We'll try to unpack this as best we can. Numbers chapter 13. And the reason I'm bringing these things to your attention is that Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So faith gets released in what we say. Praise God. I'm not staying in this situation the rest of my life. I'm not staying in this place of lack and deficiency from here forward. I'm moving up. I'm moving out. Glory to God, because the Lord is on my side. So now we have this other story that we have about the nation of Israel. And I'm going to, they'll put it up on the screen, but I want to read this scripture before we do this thing in Numbers. And this is Caleb's testimony 40 years later. All right. And you'll know, just if you look with me on Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, Caleb made this statement. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. Now listen to these words. And I brought him, Moses, word again. Listen. As was in my what? Heart. Now we'll get to what it was that was in his heart and why it was there. But nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed, hallelujah, the Lord my God. What does that tell you? That tells you you need to be careful about who you're hanging out with. And who you're listening to or who you're chiming in with, because not everybody's got faith. Ah, yeah, that faith stuff, that don't work. Oh, yeah, it absolutely does work. you know. And you can see right here that Caleb gave this testimony. He says, I watched these other 10 guys destroy the faith of the people that we were talking to. And we didn't get to go in. And I've been waiting for 40 years, so give me the mountain. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back now, if you will, please, to the 13th chapter of Numbers. And again, to establish the precedent here that's important for us here, notice in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 1 and verse 2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, now listen to what he says, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan. Now listen, which I, what's that word?
Give.
I what?
Give.
I give. Now they're not in the land, but God said, I've given it to them, which I give to the children of Israel. And that is what Caleb hung his hat on, if as a matter of speaking. In other words, he said, God said, I've given you the land. So he went out there, he seen everything, he and Joshua both seen everything that everyone else seen, but the Bible says that he brought him word as what he had seen, the circumstance of the situation. No, he brought them back word as was what? In his heart. See, when you get the word of God in your heart, it don't make any difference what's going on in the world around you. Because praise God, baby, you got God's word on the matter, and he is going to put you over and see you through. Are you listening to me? So notice with me, if we drop down in the chapter to verse 25, so they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh. And brought back word. Everybody say, brought back word. They brought back word. Now the question is what kind of word are they about to bring? They brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. He showed them the fruit of the land, which was that thing they were, that cluster of grapes carried between. Can you imagine that? You don't see that in Hy-Vee. Okay? Ain't nobody doing that. Where are you going with that? I'm going down to produce, you know? Nuh-uh. But they showed him. And so notice what gets said then in the next 27. And they told Moses, they said, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely, everybody say surely, it absolutely flows with milk and honey. Hallelujah. And this is the fruit of it. Now, let me ask, this is an important concept. Where is it that God is wanting to take these people? He's wanting to take them to the land of what? Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the land, praise God, where there's blessing, that there's supply, that there's resource, that there's their needs are to be met. He wasn't taking them out in the desert. They did that for 40 years because of their unbelief. That was not God's destination. That was theirs. So what am I saying to you? There's a place God wants to take you, and I'm telling you what, there is no lack. There's no deficiency in any area of your life. Hallelujah. That's where he wants you to go. You say, well, you know what? I don't like what you're saying because that's not my circumstance. Well, you should like what I'm saying because your circumstance can change if you'll believe what I'm telling you. Hallelujah. So notice what it goes on then to say in verse 28. What's that first word there? What? Say it one more time. Nevertheless. Get ready, baby. This is the kung pao of doubt and unbelief coming your way. You know what I'm saying? They said, hey, we went, we looked at the land. It's everything that you said it was. Well, he'd never been in the land. That's what God said. He said, I've given it to you. Nevertheless, here in verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the sons of Anak there. And then the Amalekites, they dwell in the south. The Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites, they dwell in the mountains. Canaanites are by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, well, stop right there. And Caleb stilled the people. What's that mean? What it means is they said, we went to the land, it's everything God says it is. But nevertheless, and when they started talking and telling about the conditions that were in that land, the people started an uproar. And they're going, oh my God, we you know, here we are. Why did you take us out of Egypt? We might as well die there. Now we're going to die here. We can't, you know. And in other words, there came this rise of murmuring up out of the congregation. And immediately, Caleb still, I mean, I don't know what he did, man. But, you know, when you got 2.5 million people, you got to come up with something to shout them down. He stilled them and he said, let us go up at once and possess it, because we are well able to overcome and to take the land. I don't know that a lot of people liked what he had to say, because they just heard a report from 10 other guys that said, we're in deep weeds here, boys and girls, and I don't even know what we're doing out here. And yet, read it again. Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and what? Possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. What am I trying to tell you tonight? You know, I don't know what your Canaan land challenge is, your walled city of Jericho or anything else, or the giants that might exist in your life, but I'm telling you, the same God that allowed these words to escape Caleb's lips is telling you that you're well able to possess whatever it is that's challenging you in your life. Why do we have these stories in the Bible? You know, when David went out to fight Goliath, he didn't have a chance, you know, in any way, shape, or form from a natural standpoint, but thank God he wasn't going out there in his own name. He was going out in the name of the Lord. And you're going in the name of the Lord, but you have to believe it. You have to believe that what God said he would do for you, he will do. And then you have to act accordingly, and you have to talk accordingly. All right? Because if you don't, then it's not going to happen. So you go on and read here in verse 31, but the man that went up with him said, we're not able to go out against these people. They're stronger than we are. And that's what our circumstances so often tell us. You can't do that. You can't do this. You can't have that. You can't, you know, proceed for it. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in the water that we drink, the air that we breathe, the negativity that exists all around us. It's everywhere telling you what you can't do. But the Bible says, if God be for us, who and what can be against us? You get a word from heaven, baby, and life is going to change. Hallelujah. So notice what it then goes on, verse 32. And so they brought up an evil report. What was an evil report? It was a report of doubt and unbelief. No, you can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. And so they didn't. And we can't. They brought up an evil report of the land that they went to search out. And they said, the land through which we've gone to search, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. The people that we saw are great, men of great stature. We saw the sons of, or the giants, the sons of Anak that come from the giants. And we, now this right here is pretty telling. And it says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, even so we were in their sight. Dude, you're beat before you get started. Huh? Hallelujah. So it's such an important thing in our lives. You know, well, let me ask you this question, and then we'll maybe try to bring this to a close. What have you been saying about your circumstances in your life? Because your voice will tell you everything you need to know. And if you're always saying that you can't, then you won't. But thank God you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Amen. And you, if you study the Word of God and you find out his plan, when we do say things in a negative way, it simply tells us that we're not seeing or thinking about our situation in the right way. This is not an indictment, you guys, against any of us. But let me say it to you again, so because when we do say things in a negative way, then it simply tells us that we're just not seeing or thinking about the situation in the right way, in a biblical kind of way. You know, and Abraham was charged to go out and to offer his son as a sacrifice, and Isaac asked him, he said, "We got everything we need except the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice, Dad?" And what did Abraham say? He said, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Now, he knew fully what he intended to do. But you know, praise God, I'm telling you that when you get into a situation, you know, where things are tight or it doesn't look like this or that, you know, you can thank God that you have the ability to say, "But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, they spent all these numbers on inflation, and it's stupid, okay? Everything costs lots more. Have any of you discovered that? Okay, so they can spend it any way they want. The reality is everything around us is costing more money. So we have to have more. So the reality is what we need to do is say, "God, you knew all about inflation in 2024. And so I'm thanking you for showing me what it is that I need to do in order to be able to have my needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. So you got to change the way that you think, okay? If more resource, I'm all about budgeting and stewardship and all of that. It is super important. But you know, there's only so many dollars to budget. And at some point, we need more, okay? And God knows that. And he's saying, "Yeah, man, absolutely. What is it that you need?" You know, you find it in the scriptures all over. You know, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? You know, and so we have every right as the children of God, you know, to believe him for these things. He said, "It's your Father's good pleasure, glory to God, to give you the kingdom." He said, "And shall not your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him?" So if we have a need, he'll meet it. So we have to look to that. Amen. Can you say amen? You know, it doesn't make any difference who you are. Hallelujah. Even like Jonah and I, you know, we've had a conversation. I said, "You know, we're going to have to believe God for some extra here. You know, we're going to have to find out ways in which God can bring resource into our life. We need another stream of income or whatever the case might be." Why? Because it costs more money. Amen. And you know what? It's okay. I said, it's all right. You can believe God and have your needs met. You say, "Well, am I going to have to do anything?" Maybe. More than likely, probably, huh? Yeah, okay. Everybody say, "I can do that." Here's the thing, you guys. We are, I don't know if this is the right word to use, but we are deluged by negativism. Everywhere. Anywhere. Everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. You know, and it just seems like everything just continues to get ratcheted up. Well, what we got to do is stop focusing on that and start focusing on what he said. Amen. And I believe that if we'll do that, glory to God, you know, and really that's why such diligence is required on our part. You know, God says, you know, "This book shall not depart from your eyes, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, when you walk by the way, when you do this, when you do that." What's he saying to us? Keep your eyes on the word, baby, and what it is that he said. And that's why it requires such diligence on our part, not to succumb to this river of really ungodliness. You know, when you're living in a world where people are becoming increasingly godless, then that's what you see. That's what you hear. Their actions, all of these different kinds of things. And what you're doing as a child of God, you're saying, "I ain't doing that. I'm swimming upstream. And I'm going the way that God would have me to go. If you want to get swept away down the river of the world, then you can do that. But I'm going this way." And praise God, if God's got to create a stepping stone in front of me underneath the water with every step that I take, he'll do it. And we can believe him, we can trust him, and praise God, we can have what we say. So thank God, I don't know about you, but I'm blessed now. I'm ready for popcorn and Pepsi. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can do it. Eliminate the negative. Shut the TV off, the news, the whatever it takes. I mean, I'm not saying you don't have to, or you shouldn't maybe know what the heck's going on so that you can pray and different things like that. But, dude, don't just sit there and get, you know, steep like you would a tea bag in all of this stuff. You with me? Stand with me if you would, please. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful tonight for your word. We thank you for these promises you've made to us, the plan and the purpose that you have for us as children of God. Hallelujah. So grateful, Father, for your blessing. Hallelujah. And Father, for these that have come and received the word of God, God, I just thank you for letting this just be like a dessert within their heart. And I just thank you, Father God, for expanding it, causing it, Father, to enrich their lives, and that it brings comfort and peace and joy because they know, praise God, that you're for them and you're on their side. And I just thank you, Father, that whatever the need represents, that you're well able, glory to God, to deliver, whether it be by many or few. And so, Father, let it be an encouragement to their hearts and to their minds this evening. Thank you, Father, for faith in you that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Father, for your blessing, the blessing of God, the blessing of heaven in every one of our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for meeting every need that's represented within this house. The people even that are not present here tonight. Father God, may the Spirit of God rest upon their homes, their families, and their children. Glory to God and individuals. Father, may they be blessed coming in and going out. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah.